couldn't add to what was said because it was as good as I've heard. But I would I did think about that the spirit of Jesus need not be revived or restored or made alive again, because the Bible, in fact, teaches that he is an eternal spirit. In Hebrews 9:14, actually in the Greek, the article "the" is not before that, but the text can only refer to Jesus. He is eternal. He needed no reviving. And even the text suggested that it had reference to his body. It said, mentioned death, and then his spirit. But what was revived through the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of God, had to be his body. So I'm not changing anything, but the Bible actually said that. And you know, it's interesting to me that these spirits were in prison when the Jehovah Witnesses say, you don't get a spirit until you're saved. That they believe that all of these souls are annihilated, in other words. But here's the wicked that are called spirits in scriptures. And not only that, but the same writer said they're under punishment in the verse you gave in 2 Peter 2:9. They're not only spirits, but they are under punishment, even at the time he wrote. So it's very interesting to me, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I want to ask you a question about Matt. For 2 Peter, where the Christian graces are given, and he follows it, say, if you do these four, if I can get the words going in my mouth, I'll quote it to you. But anyway, he says, if you do these things, you shall never fall. And then so a abundant entrance shall be administered to you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So they're going to escape something that is immediate in the way you gave it. And is he preparing them? He's preparing them, no matter what eventuality comes, that they were going to face, if they would add these strengths to their life, these virtues, they'd never fall. But he said, and then so an adventure, then that abundant entrance. But that's quite a difference between scarcely being saved and an abundant entrance. Do you think that, does this apply to, do you believe that word fall applies to the destructive city of Jerusalem? You shall never fall.
In 2 Peter what?
2 Peter about the Christian graces.
I don't think that's talking about that.
You say what?
I don't think that's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem.
Well,
maybe I had looked at it. Yeah.
I don't. I used to teach that it did, and I'd heard it. It wasn't, and I just wanted to hear what you had to say. What do you just think it's life in general?
Sure, that's what it seems like to me.
Okay.
It seems the word "never," you know, to be pretty inclusive. Perhaps beyond even that present experience.
Johnny?
Well, I think I probably agree with both of you on these topics, and thought it was well presented. I'd like to ask Matt a little bit of clarification on that. You know, when it says the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. You believe that's the church?
The beginning of the judgment included, began from the church.
But it involved the destruction of Jerusalem.
Understand.
Well, you know, I don't know, just the text seems to me to indicate time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it began first at us, what shall be the end of them You know, as you pointed out, immediately after the establishment of the church, it was thought of as a Jewish sect, actually, right, more than anything else. Especially the authorities, I think, looked upon it that way. But don't you think that could be talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, especially the date on these epistles is so important? But if it were written before the destruction of Jerusalem, it seems to me that, you know, all of that could be included. That was the judgment upon,
yes. Oh, yes.
The temple and the law. And, you know, he says the end of all things is at hand. And the end of all things doesn't refer to the end of time or to the end of the era, but rather to that Jewish system that was passing away, as Hebrews says, you know. So I don't know. I just wanted you to clarify that a little bit.
But I agree with what you said. I think that's what I intended to say. Anyways.
Yes. I don't know if you agreed with what he said or not. The context is, if you suffer for being a Christian, don't be ashamed of it.
Sure.
And then the next verse says that judgment's going to begin with the family of God. Those are Christians.
Yes.
That's in that. And then it says that if it begins with us, has to be Christians. Yet.
Yes.
Judgment begins with Christians.
Yes.
Not Jews, but with Christians. What will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? That's people that have never been baptized. I think what you said in the beginning was right. The persecution that began against Christians was what Peter had reference to, which may ultimately have led to the persecution against the city of Jerusalem. But it's right. The church that's under consideration and not the temple in this passage.
Right. Yeah, I do. I may have misunderstood, John, what he said. But I do believe that temple, though, is in reference to the church. And it began from the church with the beginning of the Neronian persecution. And the ultimate conclusion of that judgment was the destruction of Jerusalem.
Let me just ask another question here. Did you make reference to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11, where it talks about the Spirit of Christ being in the prophets?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that supports then the idea that Noah was
right. Quickly reference that.
Well, I may not have been listening quickly. So.
You might have reconciled this. I might have missed it. Where he says, if the righteous scarcely be saved. How do you reconcile that with the abundant entrance, you know, that it's going
to
be?
The scarcely being saved is in reference to God's providential protection over his church during this particular period of time. The abundant entrance is a description of the eternal salvation that we receive after our entrance into heaven.
I'd like to comment on that just briefly. You know, I think Foy Wallace has a good statement on that, because he thinks that the Christians who were in Jerusalem were privy to information that that others didn't have. You know, Jesus had given them the signs in Matthew 24, what to look for. When you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, let them that are in Judea flee into the mountains.
Yeah.
And that abomination of desolation, according to Luke's account, was the standing army of the Romans in the city of Jerusalem. Uh-huh. And so when that happened, according to historians, the disciples fled to Pella, which is across the river. And according to what I have read, no Christian lost his life in that.
Right.
But they barely escaped, you know. And that was due to their giving heed to the words of Jesus.
Uh-huh.